Reading both of Luke chapter 19 and Luke chapter 23. Jesus came closer to the city, and when he saw it, he wept over it, saying, "If you only knew today what is needed for peace, but now you cannot see it, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will surround you with barricades, blockade you, and close you in from every side. They will completely destroy you and the people within your walls. Not a single stone will they leave in its place, because you did not recognize the time when God came to save you." A large crowd of people followed him. Among them were some women who were weeping and waiting for him. Jesus came to them and said, "Women of Jerusalem, don't cry for me, but for yourselves and your children. For the days are coming when people will say, 'How happy are the women who never had children, who never bore babies, who never nursed them.' That will be the time when people will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Hide us,' for such things as these are done when the wood is green. What will it be like when it is dry?" It has been said that only a Christian can shed real tears, because only his tears reflect the tears of God. Lent is a time to remind us that in a Christian's life there is a time for mourning and weeping. We certainly have many illustrations of this throughout the scriptures. We can't forget the wail of Rachel in Jeremiah 31, the murmur over the children that were gone, she would never see them again, to which Matthew refers in Matthew, his gospel, the women weeping over infants at Jerusalem, at Bethlehem. Or the pathetic figure that Jeremiah presents in his lamentation over Jerusalem, a part of which was just read before, weeping over God's people who were no more. Who can ever take out of his mind, once he has read the funeral oration that David spoke over Saul and Jonathan in 2 Samuel chapter 1? Or many years later, in the age of David, weeping over his son Absalom, "You will never forget those words as long as you live. My son, my son." Or on that dark night when Peter went out and wept bitterly, how he affects the core of our inner being as he views those two. So that there is a time for mourning for a Christian is reminded us, is brought home to us very intimately in the whole Passion narrative. As our Lord in that first Palm Sunday came over the brow of Mount Zion and then saw Jerusalem before him, in the midst of all the celebration and the joy, he wept over Jerusalem. Now, if this says anything, it certainly ought to remind us, as we follow our Lord and our pilgrimage to the cross, there ought to be a time for weeping, and tears will be a part of that preparation. But tears must not be misplaced, and so we are reminded of this as our Lord, following Simon carrying his own cross, when he saw the women weeping over him, he said, "Don't weep for me, but for yourselves and for your children." Shedding tears, mourning, lamenting, wailing is a part of the Christian's life. So who else can really weep tears after God in face of all the destruction and suffering that's going on around us? If we Christians don't, no one else is going to. And above all people, how we are reminded to weep and shed tears of our own sins. Sometimes this morning you can be so desperate and so strong that it appears as if there are tears of no hope. When Rachel was weeping over her children in Jeremiah 31, we are told she could not be comforted. Or when you see the two sisters weeping at the tomb, the death of their brother, here in the face of death, can in that moment natural fears of almost utter despair. Or when someone like Peter, realizing the sins against God, goes out and weeps bitterly over them, it's as if one were to be crushed in the sorrow and the agony of that experience. And yet, such tears, while almost bringing us to the brink of despair and utter despair where there's no hope at all, as we are chased by them, all before God in the Christian faith, not tears only of despair or sorrow or hopelessness, they are really also tears of faith. Because tears of the Christian are most precious to God, as we have heard in Psalm 56, how God records each one of our tears in his book. A broken heart is most precious to God, and God loves such a broken heart, because that heart now is wide open to receive the seed of his word. Such a heart can now, as it receives the seed of the word, sprout forth into a beautiful joy, a beautiful faith and confidence because of God. When Rachel in 31 of Jeremiah was weeping over children and refused to be comforted, we are told that God told her to stop weeping because your children will come back. And that word held her steady in the midst of the impossibility of ever seeing her children again. Or the word that came through to Martha and Mary, a word that Christ through their tears and sorrow, I am the resurrection and the life. An impossible word, and yet that word brought comfort to them when nothing else could. Or when Peter dashing out, perhaps even thinking of purified like Judas did, the touch of the Savior's love in his eyes and in his words held Peter. And as he was assured of forgiveness, that word would not let him die. And though he was defeated, and though his tears were a sign of that defeat, as he lifted up his eyes to God, God would not let him die, and that word held him. And so it is with you and me. As God loves your broken heart and mind, and sees it as a beautiful place to put his word, how that word holds us, comforts us, strengthens us, and saves our lives, because through that word, God does the impossible in the midst of an impossible situation. He can comfort, he can heal, he can encourage, and he does because of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death, and his resurrection. Christian, there is indeed a time of a full mourning, and we are deeply reminded with many places in Scripture during the season of Lent, mourning over the sins of the world, its rejection of God, its untold miserable suffering and agony, and mourning over our own sins. There is a proper place because God loves such mourning, because in such mourning he can bring the rain of his grace. And in those rays of his grace in his word can bring us into a beautiful time of joy. So in this time of mourning, we look heavenward to the cross and resurrection and the ascension of our Lord and hear God saying to us, and he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Because our time of mourning will give place to a time of joy. By God's grace only. Amen.